Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word comes to us today from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians in the 12th chapter, where he writes, "Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it." The design of the human body is all you really need to make a case for a creator. Consider the human heart for a moment. The heart automatically pumps oxygen and nutrient-rich blood through the body to sustain life. That fist-shaped powerhouse in your chest expands and contracts automatically 100,000 times each day, pumping 5 or 6 quarts of blood a minute, or about 2,000 gallons a day. And how we need that blood to circulate. In addition to it carrying fresh oxygen from the lungs and nutrients to the body's tissues, it also takes the body's waste products away. It's crucial that your heart functions properly. But you could also say that about the lungs, or the brain, or the thyroid, and you get the idea. So there are a number of ways that the Bible describes the church, and perhaps the most memorable is the one that St. Paul uses right here in his first letter to the Corinthians. He writes, "We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Now, you've probably heard those words before. The church is the body of Christ in the world. But the question is, do you believe that? Do you understand yourself as being part of something bigger than you? And if you are part of that body, do you know what your function is? Thinking of ourselves as part of one body in which we rely on each other, it's a challenge. It goes against the grain of how we normally like to operate, which is to say, as free agents. We like to honor the rugged individual. We cheer for the person who says, "Right or wrong, I did it my way." But the Word of God takes us in a much different direction. That Word honors our individuality. We are uniquely created and adopted one by one in the waters of baptism, yet we are never just an individual. Again, Paul writes, "You are the body of Christ, and each one of you individually members of it." Because you are baptized and because you trust in Christ, you are part of something beyond yourself. And it isn't a matter of trying to make that happen or wanting to be part of it. You are part of it. It just is. Christians are called to be members of a community of believers, as messy as that can be sometimes. And the only thing that makes it work is the gospel. The good news of what Jesus has done is the lifeblood of his body. And what I mean is this: everywhere else you go, your status in that community is based on your performance. Only the Christian faith dares to say, "Your performance did not get you here. It was Jesus' performance that got you here. It was baptism and the Holy Spirit that brought you here." That's what the gospel says. And what the gospel does is it destroys sinful pride. You cannot possibly look down your nose at another Christian, because we all got here the same way, by God's choice. He chose to forgive you and adopt you, and that's it. That's why St. Paul writes, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. God has combined the members of the body and given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that, Paul writes, there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, did you hear that? Paul says the parts of the body need each other. The parts of the body of Christ need each other. When one part hurts, the whole body hurts with it. When one part is in good shape, it helps the other parts along. In fact, the stronger parts have a special responsibility to care for the weaker parts. And at the same time, parts that may seem to be weaker actually have functions you can't do without. Some of you may remember, this was in March of 1981. President Ronald Reagan was shot by John Hinckley Jr., was hospitalized for several weeks. And although Reagan was the nation's chief executive, his hospitalization did not cause the nation's business to grind to a halt. The work of government continued on. On the other hand, suppose all of the garbage collectors in our community suddenly one day decided, we're done. No more garbage collection for us. What would happen? Well, not only would things be a mess, but that pile of decaying trash would quickly become a health hazard. Now, what's the point? The point is, presidents are important, and so are trash collectors. We look at them as vastly different jobs, but this is also true in the church. In the body of Christ, there is no such thing as an insignificant part. As Paul reminds us, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts that seem to be weaker are indispensable. God's word challenges you and me to embrace being a member of the body of Christ today. Now, why in our individual-centered culture would somebody do that? Well, let me offer you just a few reasons. Not only can you gain support from being part of this body, but you gain a purpose, you gain a mission, and we need this. We need to know that our lives have value, and being a member of Christ's body provides that like nothing else can. Being a member of Christ's body attaches you to the actions and activity of Jesus Christ. And what that means is, attached to Jesus, you too are an agent of his salvation. You are a conduit of forgiveness and love that flows from Christ himself. Paul says, you are the body of Christ. Do you embrace that? And do you live it? And if you're wondering, how do I live it? Paul tells us, he goes on to describe what being the body means in practical terms. He says it this way: in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, then prophets and teachers, workers of miracles, those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, those speaking in different kinds of tongues. That's a bunch of different jobs in that list, isn't there? And that's the point. We don't all do the same things, but it all works to the same purpose. When your hands serve, body of Christ, the hands of Jesus are serving. When your words encourage someone, body of Christ, those are Jesus' words encouraging that person. When your shoulder bears a burden, Jesus is the strength under your strength. Have you ever put your face into a frame painted to represent something? You know, that happened late last year. And it brings a smile to your face because, why? The heads don't exactly fit the body, do they? Not sure what my dad was doing in that picture. But let me ask you this. In a similar way, if we could hold in our minds the image of Jesus, Son of God, as the head of this body, this group of believers right here, St. Mark Lutheran Church, if we could picture Jesus as our head and we as his body, and then we brought in an outside observer, would they chuckle? Would they smirk because the head and the body don't seem to match? Or if we brought that observer in, we brought that community member in, would they marvel at how the head and the body are in proportion to one another and how they all seem to be working in the same way? Well, here's what I know. The body of Christ does not sit around doing nothing. And the body of Christ doesn't exist primarily to serve itself. The body of Christ is active. It's busy looking for people to help and love and serve, and you are a part of this. You have a unique role to play. Your feet to go, your hands to serve and embrace, your heart to be filled with compassion, your ears to listen with patience, your mouth to speak and sing of Jesus, the life giver. Let's be his body together. Amen. And now may the God of peace himself grant you peace at all times and in all ways. The Lord be with you all. Amen.